Okay, so that's it. Carol Wolf as the LSB chair from WVFW. Carol, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much for coming out to D.C.
Thank you. I want to preface this with the reminder that it was yesterday that we determined we would be doing these reports, and this is meant to be an informal hitting of the highlights for the WPFW local station board, and I apologize in advance if I overlook something. I do want to mention that we started last year with a retreat in January 2005. A committee was formed to plan the retreat, and all members attended to address some very lofty goals. One was to orient new LSB members, I was one of them, to clarify the roles of the LSB, the general manager, and WPFW staff, to improve working relationships to foster increased productivity by the LSB, and to set LSB goals for 2005, as well as to lay the groundwork for future long-term strategic and operational planning. I will say we achieved one of those goals to some extent. The retreat did succeed in compiling a catalog of goals that all members fully participated in creating through the work of subcommittees. I will say the LSB has not yet taken the next step to select a few priorities on which to focus cooperative energies. And I hope we can do that this year. In 2005, a new LSB section of the WPFW website was established, and now for the first time, approved minutes of our meetings are posted there. Standing committees were established to address the duties assigned to the LSB by Pacifica bylaws. I want to thank, many people were already thanked by Ron, and I second all of that, but I want to thank Jane Gatewood for her work as treasurer and chair of the LSB Finance Committee and the fine work that she and her group did to prepare the WPFW budget, get it approved and presented to the PNB. The Outreach and Development Committee, chaired by Zarina Shakir, was very active. A town hall meeting was conducted to give listeners a forum for expressing their needs and expectations for WPFW, and Cade Campbell, who is now our vice chair, was instrumental in getting that going. I have to thank Gloria again for being the moving force behind an awards event that was held to express appreciation to all volunteers, and I think that was a good precedent to set. A number of members of the Outreach and Development Committee worked with station management to investigate options for relocating the station. It was decided to renew the current lease and develop a long-term plan to address location and other facility needs. And a number of the Outreach and Development Committee members, as well as others on the LSB, worked with station management to promote visibility for WPFW at local concert and community events. The Management Assessment and Search Committee attempted to create an evaluation form and process to use in preparing the LSB's evaluation of the general manager. Several of the committee members, I have to report, resigned, and the LSB voted to have the LSB officers formulate a new management assessment and search committee, and that is currently being addressed by the current officers. The programming committee began work on developing criteria for assessing quality of programming, and the technology committee began to work on a needs assessment and a development plan. The Committee of Inclusion was convened, and there was emphasis on the role of that committee. According to Pacifica's bylaws, the committee has met and is attempting to reach consistent committee membership. I want to mention another project. I don't know, is Joni Eisenberg here? I know she was going to try to make it. Oh, she's out of town. Several LSB members assisted Joni, who she is a staff LSB member as well, and she initiated a very successful Listening for Health program that combined live events in broadcast programming. And there was a wonderful, very long segment on cable TV in this area on that program that was very good publicity for WPFW. And the program itself was successful in promoting awareness and action related to improving health in the community. We had two staff members resign from the LSB in 2005 due to increased professional responsibilities. Steve Hoffman is writing a book in addition to his other activities, and he resigned. He was replaced by Donnie McKethan, who held the next staff candidate position.
We're close to time.
Okay. Katia Stitt also resigned, and we're looking for a replacement for her. The elections of the LSB officers was held on January 4th. The officers were elected, myself as chair, Kate Campbell as vice chair, Jane Gatewood was reelected treasurer. All nominees for secretary declined, and Jane Gatewood is also serving as acting secretary, pending a search for other nominees. We're doing an outreach to the community to try to find that. The LSB election of PNB representatives was also held. Ambrose Lane ran unopposed and was reelected staff representative. And the three listener LSB representatives who were elected over the course of a few days were Rob Robinson, Zarina Shakir, and AC Bird, as you know. If I am, before I run out of time, I do want to take an opportunity to thank Jim Brown for his efforts as previous chair of the WPFW LSB. He's demonstrated extraordinary commitment to advancing WPFW, the LSB, and Pacifica, and he's put in countless hours that are not visible to a lot of us.
Thank you. Thanks very much. The report went over time. I think we have time for one quick question. If somebody has a quick question for Carol, Bob.
You always run out of time. No.
Always.
I just wanted to ask you about the election you just mentioned to the PNB, because we heard several people yesterday who raised some pretty serious procedural problems with it, and I want to ask you if you think that it would be reasonable for this board to look into the circumstances and make sure that we can certify that it was done through proper procedures.
I have 1 minute.
Not even that, but let's go with it.
The ballots were distributed to elect three PNB representatives from six candidates. And instructions were given to rank order the candidates from 1 to 6. The ballots were collected and they were entered into the software by Jim Brown with two witnesses as he entered the selections. Jim could not get the computer program to execute. We use a building where we are required to vacate the premises by 10 p.m. or close to 10 p.m. He couldn't get the program to execute, and we were out of time. It was recommended that Jim take the ballots, consult with Angela Luria, and distribute the results the next day. Now, Angela was not an official election supervisor for this, but she's worked with us in the past. That was announced to the board. There was no objection. There were no questions raised at that time. So Jim took the ballots and called Angela the next day, and he distributed the results the next evening. After the results were distributed, there were some email questions about the process. And there were questions about wanting to be able to inspect the ballots. I sent two messages out to say that the ballots would be available for public inspection that Saturday, just a few days after the election, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. At our next LSB meeting on January 11th, there was substantial discussion of the election. A motion was made and passed to accept the results.
Carol, I have to cut you off. If we're going to continue on this, we need a motion to extend time for this item. Otherwise, we're at time. We can't. We can't
move
deal
that
with
we
this now.
Extend for yeah, 5 minutes.
I second that.
Is there any objection? Okay. If you can, two other members want to speak. So if you could finish with that as quickly as possible.
In talking with Angela to get guidance on this matter, the thinking was that reholding the election is not necessarily a fair thing to do. The conditions are changed, so you can't say that you can turn the clock back and start over again with an absolutely clean slate and have a fair environment. So when I discussed with Angela the circumstances of the election, in her view, although it would have been better if we could have executed the program while we were on site the night we were doing the elections, her advice in a message that she asked me to distribute it to the whole board, which I did, her advice was not to devote our energies to replaying this election, but in her opinion, it could stand, it should stand, and we should devote our energies to codifying protocols for our election processes in the future.
Okay, Steve and then Ken.
I had only wanted to extend debate.
My question is about the, I've heard that there were two ballots that were disqualified, is that correct?
Yes.
At what point were they disqualified? And by whom?
Now, my understanding is that as Jim and the two witnesses were entering the ballots, one ballot had used two numbers twice, and it was disqualified for that reason. The other ballot used letters instead of numbers, and that ballot was disqualified. And many of the questions that were in the emails and subsequent discussions focused around were people confused that their ballot would be disqualified if two numbers were used. Now, in attempting to find the fairest way to look at this, the instructions that were given were rank order them 1 to 6, and the ballot itself includes the instructions that any ballot that has two numbers, that has the same number for more than one candidate, any ballot that has the same number for more than one candidate would be disqualified. That's actually printed on the ballots that we use that I understand were generated by the software.
My understanding of the single transfer voting you were using, right?
Instant runoff method?
Either one. My understanding is that you're allowed to vote.
No, it's STV for the PNV. Yeah. It's not IRP.
Yeah, it's STV.
My understanding is that STV
permits the use of the same rank for more than one candidate. That's totally legal.
It does.
Well, that's what Angela confirmed that was what was written on the ballot. It actually is written on the ballot that if the same number is used for more than one candidate, it's disqualified. And that's Angela explained it, and I'm not an expert on the elections, right. But she explained it as related to the particular software that is used for local elections.
Okay. And I just want to retract what I just said. That's my belief. It's not a statement that I'm certain of. So I apologize. Ray Juan, I just looked past Bob.
I put a name tag.
Ray,
quickly,
and then Lydia.
Were the ballots inscribed in a way that you could identify them as belonging to that particular vote? Meaning that I couldn't take a blank and take it home and hand them to you the next day with whatever result I wanted. Was there a way for those ballots to be identified as being the original ones? I don't know.
Ballots were numbered and they were filled out in ink.
Lydia?
As a point of information is that in March or April, whenever our next meeting is, in Los Angeles, that our elections committee has proposed teaching, having a forum, a instructional session, however you want to say, for this entire board, all the LSB chairs, whoever is present, of how to do STB voting, how to compute STB voting ourselves. We'll get to practice and have a little election and so forth. I think it's really critical because on more than one occasion in our signal area, certainly the computer has not worked. And I really do not think it's a good idea to take ballots home precisely because you come across this kind of situation. And that just for transparency, all of us should at least basically know how to observe an STV election, a hand count of an STV election, grasp it. And I do believe that double ranking is permitted on our general elections. But there is a problem in the software with the local computing, because that's why we always do a hand count in addition to the computer.
Okay, we're at time for that item. Thank you, everybody.